The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what are you to do if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not yet believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who were the ones that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one comes to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We live in very perilous times just now. And I am here today because the associate pastor, Brian Hooper, was quarantined, but I got contact with him, several of us have, but he is well and plans to be out and about coming tomorrow, I believe. The scriptures we have heard today are kind of an outline of all sorts of crises that God's people were in, and how God and his loyal followers managed in the past. I find it interesting that in the very scriptures, Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, the Jewish scriptures, which we Christians have continued as put as part of our scriptures, in the very, very beginning, God is always creating, ennobling, creating more life. God is always nurturing and protecting and finding solutions when people need help. God is always looking for loyal leaders and helping to expand what his word is in the world today. In Joshua, the first reading, we have a laundry list of difficulties. In Joshua, in his speaking, he talks about all the difficulties that went on, about Moses and Aaron leading the people out of Egypt, and the people are complaining, and yet God gives food and gives water and helps them through all the problems of marching through from Egypt into the promised land. And then Joshua goes on to say, and he's talking to the people, the prophet Joshua, and they're complaining to him. And he said, "Look, make a choice. Serve a pagan god if you want to, but for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord." Sort of that gauntlet put down. And that happens again. We live in this very perilous time, this very difficult time. In Paul's letter, the second scripture reading we heard, Paul's letter to the little Christian community in Ephesus. You got to remember what Ephesus was. It was this Roman seaport town, and all the image you have of a seaport town. It bridges Asia and Europe. It was a very raucous place. It was a very difficult place to live. A lot of stuff was going on. There was people from all over the then-known world in this seaport going on. Lots of different languages are being spoken. And Paul, who started the Christian community there, was very fond of that Christian community. But it was always stepping on its own feet. It was always problems in Ephesus. And that same kind of policy or human trait of things being difficult. And so again, Paul was urging the people to do what is right and not to get sidetracked. And he says, put on the armor of God that you may resist evil. His preaching faced a lot of opposition. And so, in the last horrible days of Jesus' life, and as we heard in the gospel today, a lot of his followers left him because it just was too hard for them to believe. But in those last 3 days of Jesus' life, again, everything fell apart. His chosen leader when he was to be gone, Peter, and Peter in Greek and Latin are basically the same as we have in our language. It's the rock. So he was sort of rocky. He was the one that Jesus chose to be his leader. And he was the one who was scared off by a young girl at that evening before Jesus was to die, saying, aren't you one of those people? I recognize your accent. And Peter ran away, afraid of a little girl, afraid of the whole circumstances. The horrible last days of Jesus' life found him dying in the city dump of Jerusalem with only not much more than a teenager, John, who ends up writing today's gospel, and some women at his foot. All of the men, all of these people he trained for 3 years abandoned him at that time. It was a perilous time. The history of people living is that you live through perilous times, and we live in a very perilous time today. The pandemic, which we were celebrating, that it looked like it was abating, seems to have had a second wind. And it's a scary time for all of us. The pandemic that chastened us and has scared us is still with us. There's anger and fear and frustration. And it seems, if anything, some of these threats are increasing. The local news, which I heard all of 1 or 2 minutes of this morning, said that there's several people missing in West Nashville, and several are known to have died in the floods and the heavy rains of yesterday. We live in perilous times. So we are called to act, and how do we act in perilous times? The Bible gives us these stories, and I'm reminded at this time of reading all of these perilous stories in today's scriptures. What comes to mind is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Most of you know him, the German theologian. Almost everyone lists him as one of the leading theologians, Christian theologians, in the mid-1900s. He wrote a book that I have read several times. But in that book, Bonhoeffer mentions, he was, by the way, a professor at Union Theological Seminary in New York, a real cushy job. And when Hitler came to power, he thought his place was back in Germany with his people. So he leaves this cushy job in New York, goes back to Germany, and speaks up and says what needs to be said, and became a prisoner of Hitler. Hitler put him in jail. But in that book, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Man's Search for Meaning, in that book he writes, the failure of respectful persons is their failure to act in a responsible manner. And I think that's true today. The failure of respectable people today, people who are in positions to influence others, people who just can influence their neighbor. The failure of respectable people is their failure to act in a responsible manner. So we live in perilous times. That's nothing new. The Bible, the scripture readings today just gives a constant list of perilous times and of God's presence in those perilous times to aid people to do what needs to be done so that we can gather in church today here and we can gather together because people stood up and did what needed to be done to pass on this opportunity as we have today. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer, his call was always to act, to do something. It is good to have feelings and thoughts about what needs to be done or feelings of being discouraged, but we need to act and to speak to make things different. So at this time, I would like all of us to remember what the children taught us just a little bit earlier, and you can either remain seated or stand, and so the three of you on the front and myself are going to lead the rest of the congregation. So let's all remember what it takes to do what we need to do when something is difficult. So if you remember, okay, good, let's all say it together. Good, better, best, never let it rest. Until your good gets better and your better is the best. Come on, one more time, one last time, okay? Good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is the best. Thank you, girls. I appreciate you helping me out. Let us continue our worship at this time.